Blog Talk Radio.
This is Jasa Sagonige, a 7th grade grandson of Sawanuka, keeper of the Holy Cherokee Ark, who during the American Revolution became first beloved man of the Cherokee, head man of the Upper, Middle, and Lower Cherokee. Please join us at 5 p.m. Pacific Time on Sunday evening and learn how you, regardless of ancestry, may gain the privilege of worshiping as you please, even using indigenous, plant-based, native sacraments. Aho. You are listening to a pre-recorded interview from the archives of Prophecy Keepers Radio. You have been led by the Spirit to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a cooperative service of the White Roots of Peace Council. Whether it be the modern Asaga of Peru, the current Kahunas of Hawaii, today's medicine people of the Americas, the Holy Ones of Africa, shamans of the East, North, West, and South, or the present-day Atawehis of the Cherokee, we bring you the traditional elders and teachers of our modern times and their confidants from the Americas, the steppes of Asia, the Holy Land, the islands of the sea, Africa, and Australasia. We have not been conquered, and we defy the established order. This is Will Bluewater, the host of Prophecy Keepers Radio, speaking on behalf of the White Roots of Peace Council.
It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow?
Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius. Folks, the scriptures say my people perish for lack of knowledge. We live in a world that's becoming more and more dangerous as time goes by. Millions of people are aware of this fact now and are actively preparing. Back in 2004, the folks here at Prophecy Keepers Foundation foresaw this situation and began preparing information for you. Friends, I seriously suggest that you head over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look at the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library. The Prophecy Keepers Trilogy is a 1,000-page intelligence briefing. The trilogy is a sum total of many years of collecting, collating, analyzing, and comparing prophecies from all over the planet. Before he passed away in 1985, Mad Bear Anderson predicted that someone would do exactly what we have done. Mad Bear passed into spirit in 1985 before he could realize his dream of collecting and comparing prophecies from all over the world. He said in his biography, "Someday someone will collect all the native people's prophecies, myths, and legends and would publish them in one place so they could be compared with those of all native peoples worldwide, and then we really will have something." And friends, you'll be absolutely shocked to find out that we discovered exactly what that something was that Mad Bear wanted everyone to know. As it turns out, that certain special something that Mad Bear was searching for in the prophecies has everything to do with your physical safety and how to protect it. Now folks, there's absolutely nothing available on the planet like this collection. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files in 222 folders. You'll also receive direct access to links that will allow you to download all 145 past Prophecy Keeper's interviews. Now folks, I won't kid you, Prophecy Keeper's does need money to continue to operate. We had a very close call at the end of last month. We almost didn't raise the funds that we needed to stay here on Blog Talk Radio. So please head on over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look. OCO, Aginalii, this is Blue Otter coming to you from the Cumberland Plateau, the ancient home of the Aniuntikwalaski, the people of the lightning and thunder, or the military protectors of the Cherokee Nation.
Well, hello everybody. This is your old buddy Blue Otter coming to you from the mysterious Ozarks in Mid-America. And this is the Prophecy Keeper show that will begin midnight, August 6, 2005. And our guest, once again, is Joshua Shapiro of the Crystal Skull Explorers. Joshua and his wife, Daisy, were on our show last March. They were one of the first shows that we did. And I imagine he's done some traveling. How are you, Joshua?
Oh, I'm doing very well today, thanks, except I'm having trouble getting adjusted to the heat here.
Oh, yeah.
In Holland, it's not getting as warm as this, and it doesn't have the humidity, but...
Yeah, it's quite a different climate over there. I spent 3 months in Belgium in 1971, so...
Yeah.
Where have your travels taken you?
Well, since we were on your show last year, I think this was right around the time when our e-book was coming out. We've gotten some copies of our new book as e-books out around the world. We got to travel to a couple of new countries in Europe. We got to go to Italy and to Norway, some trips into Germany, but mostly focused in Europe. And then in September, we got to come to America and did some talks and things there. But we also got a chance to visit with the Hopis in Arizona. Daisy wanted to... meet the Hopis and go see Prophecy Lodge. So
great.
We got to go to the Prophecy Stone and we did some meditation with Crystal Stone. And Daisy had a pretty powerful vision. I don't remember exactly what it was. Something with golden lights and some lights coming out of the stone for her and visions and things like that. So that was pretty interesting. And the other thing that started up last year was our movie project, which I can't really talk too much about it. Just to say that, we're working on a story that will be a feature film, and the Crystal Skulls will somehow be involved with that.
Wow.
That's why we went to L.A. We were meeting with a film director, and his wife has a big collection of Crystal Skulls. So life as normal has been very interesting. And, of course, later on we'll talk about the conference that we're doing in Holland. We're pretty excited about that for next
year. Oh, that's fascinating. Well, we're sorry that Daisy wasn't able to be with us, but she's in the Netherlands. You're in the United States tonight. Are you in Illinois tonight or elsewhere?
No, I'm in Illinois. When I come in, I stay with my father. This is my home in America. And
right.
I was born in Chicago.
So what do you think about the weather? And this has really been something interesting going on this last year.
You mean like the changes in the weather? And
yeah.
Well, of course, if anyone studies prophecies, and you know better than probably I, that one of the signs, of course, for the transformation and changes to the planet is going to come related to the weather. And, I just think it's part of prophecy. It's just confirmation that the changes and the transformation that we've all heard about, that it's definitely in the works, it's happening. And, also, I think, too, it's a reflection I felt since the beginning of this year, 2005, that the planet went into a much higher octave. It seems like a lot of very positive projects are all of a sudden getting help, whereas last year, it was very difficult to move them forward to the next step. So it's all part of the same energies of transformation. So that's what I think is happening anyway.
Yeah, I know this last year was kind of a trial in Europe because I guess early last year the Gulf Stream shut down, which is kind of changing the face of weather in Europe, and was just wondering what kind of effect you had seen this last winter. I don't know if were you in the Netherlands, the previous winter to this last one?
Yeah, we were there November, December, January, this kind of time frame.
Did you notice much difference in your latitude?
I think it was a little bit warmer than normal. We didn't really see much snow, but Holland doesn't get a lot of snow because it has a sea climate, so it's
yeah.
Be warmer.
Yeah. It's kind of crazy. Well, tell us tell us about your upcoming conference or whatever you'd like to tell us.
Well, we're very excited about the conference coming up. I'll tell you the name in Dutch and then I'll translate it in English. But just in case there are a few people out there who know Dutch, they'll know what it means. It's Kristallenschedel Komen naar je toe. And what this means in English is the crystal skulls come towards you. There have been some other conferences where crystal skulls have been together. Mary Thunder, for example, has participated in the Wolfsong gatherings, and she suggested for crystal skulls to be a part of that when they bring all these elders together. Dr. Chet Snow in Sedona, Arizona has done some conferences with crystal skulls. And I don't know, I follow what spirit does, tells me to do, and I just felt very strongly to, you know, try to put together a conference in Europe. And actually what happened was we found a friend who's a professional promoter, and we were going to try this year to have one in England in April, but it didn't work out. And I don't know if there's any people out there who know me. I'm a typical Aries. I never give up. If I feel that there's something that's important, then I'm going to pursue it to the best of my ability. And so I start thinking, okay, well, maybe Holland would be the best place to do the conference. And how the conference started is there was a woman, I think it was March of this year, who had heard of Daisy and I, and unfortunately Daisy was sick that day, so I just went in to this place she rented, and I did a lecture on the crystal skulls, and I just started talking to her about the conference, and I said, you know, if we could find such and such amount of money, then I think we could really get started. And she says, oh, I'm interested, I'll give you the money. And for most of us who are like light workers, you know, somebody that just says, I'm going to give you the money. And this was not a little money. This was a fairly good chunk, a size of money, because, you know, you have to pay for the place you're going to use for your conference.
Oh, yeah.
And just to bring in your speakers. But she said, I give it to you. And she's already advanced this part of the money. And if it wasn't because of her, I wouldn't be here in America, because part of my airfare is paid by the conference. And what I've been doing since I've been back is I've been talking to different people about coming to speak there. And we're hoping to have one native elder to come. His name is Many Horses, and this is a person that I was able to share some information in our new book, Journey for the Crystal Skull Explorer. So I need to call him before I go back to Holland and just make sure that whatever his requirements are, we can do it. So anyway, the conference is set up for March 10th to the 12th of next year. It's going to be at a beautiful center we found called Papendal, which is in the city of Arnhem. Maybe some people know of this city because it was a major battle, a spot there in the Second World War between the Germans and the Allies. And anyway, it's going to be in this city, and we're starting to line up our speakers, and I'm hoping to have a very unique collection of different crystal skulls that will be present, which will be available for people to have their personal experience with, and also offer lectures and workshops. And we're thinking about kind of like a film room where we can show maybe some documentaries and things. And, I think it's going to be a really wonderful conference. Try to set it up the environment so when people come, they feel very welcome. Of course, Hollands, the Dutch people are very hospitable people, so I think it's working out well. So probably next month, September, we'll begin to give out our first announcements and be able to start taking registration and the whole thing. But I think it's going to be a very wonderful 3 days in Holland, you know, where people get to meet all these people, you know, who are doing, working with crystal skulls, have crystal skulls, sharing their knowledge. So that's one of the main projects we have right now. Absolutely.
Outstanding. Now, if folks would like more information, all I have to do is click on the link that says guest website on the page that they're listening to this interview from, and that'll take you over to that information, or to your website. Now, you've got a Crystal Skull World Mission coming up, what, later this month in Switzerland?
Yeah, that's correct. Last year, we started the first Crystal Skull World Mission Conference. That's more of a private gathering, whereas this conference in Holland is a public gathering. And we had about 30, 35 people that came to Switzerland last year. and, you know, different people were just sharing information and talking about their experiences. We had, I don't know, maybe 35 skulls that were present.
Oh, my gosh.
We've decided to do it again. It will be at the end of August. There is actually still room. I know it's short notice, but if there are any of your listeners that feel called or they want to be with Crystal Skulls, we still have space that some other people could come. Another special thing that's going to happen with this conference is there's a man named Kalman who is an expert on the Mayan calendar, and he has agreed to come before the conference starts to do a full-day workshop. So if people who can come to Switzerland, they want to learn about Crystal Skulls or the Mayan calendar, we're also going to have this speaker there too. And there's another lady also coming from Guatemala that I guess works with the Mayans there, and she has said that she will be willing to talk about some things too. So it's a very informal atmosphere. We actually don't have anything officially planned for this one, but it's there for people who have an interest in Crystal Skulls, that they can come together with other people, they can meet skulls, they can learn, or they can share, you know, their own special experiences, ideas, or whatever. So yeah, we have that. That's the last weekend of the month. I think it's the 26th through the 29th of August. So there is on our website, which you have a link to, not only information about the conference in Holland, or if you want to get more information about that, or this one in Switzerland. I think, I put a picture from the last one. So if there are people curious, they can just go to that Crystal Skull homepage and put up.
Right. And then you're flying back in the middle of September for a Universal Gathering of Hearts at Sedona.
Yes, this is another conference that's being done by Angel Valley in Sedona. I'm not sure we're going to be able to go for that one because they're just starting out and we really didn't have a lot of time to prepare. But there is another conference that's happening in Sedona. They are inviting people who have crystal skulls if they want to come. And again, if people just go to our homepage, we'll see the website from Angel Valley and they can contact them. Their goal is to set up this gathering for 9 consecutive years. And they hope by the end of that time, which would take them into 2013, that they can bring together these 13 special crystal skulls that the native legends talk about. But besides working with the energy of the crystal skulls, they're also honoring 22 distinct cultures. And I think their website for the event is going to be up very, very soon. So as soon as they let me know that I'm going to have a link on our homepage for that as well.
Outstanding.
What I would say about that conference is even though it's a different purpose, we are working with the people at Angel Valley kind of together. We're helping each other, and we're moving in the same direction. We have kind of the same goals and purpose.
That's great. That's wonderful. It's good to hear you're so active. Well, I guess... in the last year, what kind of information has come through Skulls that you've been associated with that you feel that people need to hear about?
Well, I don't know if it's so much new information. I would just say that the crystal... maybe we could go this route. I am very surprised how many people there are out there who feel a strong affinity to actually have their own crystal skull. Like, for example, there's this young man that just contacted us who's had a lot of contact with different indigenous people, and he just got his first crystal skull. And it's like within the first week of having his skull, he's telling me about all kinds of amazing visions and things that he's having. So what this could possibly represent is that the crystal skulls themselves, the energies that they're connected to or the energies that they hold, it's like they're being activated more and more and more. So as more people are either having direct experience with one or saying, hey, I'd like to be a caretaker for one, there's a higher level or a higher intensity of the experiences that I've noticed, especially this year, that people are having. Another key message, which basically is what we're trying to achieve in our conference, both of our conferences that we're doing, is really to look at more joint projects. Because, you know, for Daisy and I, we've been traveling around since I met her in 2001 doing different events and lectures, workshops. But the message from Spirit last year, and again, I heard this at the beginning of the year, is more of the idea of doing joint projects together. Well, obviously, the conference we're doing in Holland is a manifestation of this concept, and we're finding that there are other people involved with particular cells who are getting a similar message about the idea of, you know, what can we do together instead of, you know, working separately.
Right. Well, the skulls are wanting to get together.
Yeah, and they, absolutely. I mean, I was here in Chicago, just as another example, and a friend said, okay, I'd like to invite you over, and because we have this meditation that we do every Sunday with the Crystal Skull. So again, if people come to our website, they'll see Crystal Skull Meditation for World Peace. They're invited to join us. We have it at three different times. So there was an old friend here, she had a Crystal Skull, another lady we know that had a bunch of Crystal Skulls. I didn't know she had so many. And then, of course, Daisy, who's the mother for most of the skulls. We have over 20 skulls now in our personal collection. She allowed me to bring over 13 skulls. Two are ones that I work with very closely, and then another 11. So at this meeting we had on Sunday for the meditation, we actually had 35 crystal skulls in the same place.
Wow.
So maybe what you're asking about, this idea of skulls coming together, as this is going to happen more and more, a lot of these, even the new skulls, are starting to become pretty charged and pretty activated. It's not just the so-called, you know, very, very old ones or ancient ones as we refer to them in the book, but some of the new ones are very powerful. There was, another example.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Hi, friends. This is Blue Water. Ayurvedic medicine is also called Ayurveda. It's a system of medicine that originated in India several thousand years ago. The term Ayurveda combines two Sanskrit words, Ayur, which means life, and Veda, which means science or knowledge. Ayurveda means the science of life. Ayurveda is a whole medical system which integrates and balances the body, mind, and spirit. Thus, it's considered holistic. This balance is necessary for contentment and good health. While pharmaceutical companies extract active ingredients from plants and sell them as drugs, the benefits of medicinal plants cannot be replicated because their synergistic combination of hundreds of naturally occurring phytochemicals cannot be reproduced in laboratories. This fact has been known to Ayurveda for thousands of years. The benefit comes from using the whole plant, not just the isolated ingredient. Because they contain whole herbs and fruits, Ayurvedic formulas are safer and more effective as opposed to Western formulations, which oftentimes have harmful side effects. We satisfy the health needs of our customers through safe, well-researched, and effective Ayurveda-based remedies using premier quality herbal extracts and sound manufacturing practices. We believe in Ayurveda so much, we're willing to offer you a 110% money-back guarantee. So be sure and visit india-herbs.us today and find out what this is all about.
Example of this is there was a couple who contacted me over the internet. Or no, you know what happened with them? Is they heard me on the Coast to Coast, heard Daisy and I on the Coast to Coast AM radio show at the end of June. And so, you know, they contacted us and I said, oh, I'm coming to Chicago. So they came over. And the wife, it was a couple, man and a woman. So the lady was working with a rose quartz skull, and they actually had their own skull. And she was kind of like, you know, her husband was really into it, and she was kind of like very cautious with it. But when she held our rose quartz skull, which is called Infinity, you know, you could just watch her. She started crying. She started really opening up. She sent me an email yesterday thanking for the experience. So what I'm trying to say is the new skulls are also have a special role to play too, and they're really helping people as well. So it's just these kinds of things are just happening, I guess, more and more. We're hearing from more people. We had like 20,000 people that visited our website after the Coast to Coast AM radio show. So that means there's at least 20,000 people out there that want to know more about crystal skulls or interested in something we were talking about related to them. So it's been very interesting. So more intensity, more interest in Omar this year has come up for sure.
I think that's great. I think it's wonderful. Yeah, I really, you know, last year we talked about the skulls and how previous owners, I want to say their imprint or their influence or their essence or way of communicating, you know, through the skulls. It's not really understood exactly how they do it, but we know that that objects, you know, for instance, like a sacred pipe and other things of this nature do definitely carry the intentions, and you know, sometimes you're even able to communicate with previous owners, you know, with and through them. So it's interesting that the skulls are wanting to come together.
Yep.
And you're saying that the new skulls are kind of the baby skulls are growing up too and kind of growing the becoming part of the congregation. I think that's wonderful.
Yep, definitely. And I agree with you that the older skulls do contain a lot of the essence and information from either the people who made them, which we don't fully understand how were these older skulls made, and all the civilizations which have held the skull and worked with these crystal skulls over the centuries, it still contains their essence. And especially, I think, the information that's necessary for humanity now to survive all these changes and challenges that we have right now. I have felt that that's one of the key messages of the crystal skull since the beginning, when I saw this amethyst crystal skull in 1982-83 called the Me. You know, I felt that they have a very special role to play, and perhaps, it still hasn't happened yet, one of the indigenous groups will eventually, one of their elders or shamans, perhaps will come out with the crystal skull, because all the ones that are known now are held in the hands of so-called people from the modern world. We feel that more crystal skulls will be coming out in the future, and each time there is, you know, like an event, like a conference, or documentaries, or whatever, just helping people to know more about the skulls, this is the preparation for some other special ones to come out. But I don't know which ones they might be. I think indigenous people know, but you work with them, so you know that it's something that's sacred, they guard it, and they only allow it to come out when it's absolutely the correct time to process.
Exactly. Well, do you remember anything memorable from your Hopi trip this last year?
Yes, actually. That's a good question. What happened was we met a woman in Sedona who's kind of been adopted by the Hopi.
Uh-huh.
So she has a Hopi family that she knows, and we wanted to have a guide to take us there. I primarily asked for a guide because, you know, the Hopis have had a lot of problems with people respecting their traditional ways, even trying to understand their traditional ways. So I felt it would be better for us if we go with someone who they know honors them and trust them. And she brought us to this family. I think the son of the family is a fantastic painter. He was showing us, you know, the paintings with their, I don't know if you call them gods, but the special spirits that guide the Hopi. What's the name of?
Probably just deities.
Yeah, they're deities, but they have a name for it. The deities appear to them on the San Francisco beach, and I can't remember what they call them.
Oh.
You know what I'm talking
about. Yeah, you got my tongue tied right now, too.
Okay, well, anyway, one of us will remember probably before we finish here. Anyway, these special deities who have guided the Hopi, you know, the artist will paint them, so the son paints them. But we got to be at a christening of a young child. You know, everybody got up very early in the morning, and they did a traditional ceremony. And I remember that they had to wash the hair of the mother, and we actually had to give the child a name. So they invited us to participate. That was very kind of them. So we did that, and then the other thing that I think that was very special is this woman we met. Normally, I think in the Hopi traditions, they consider the men to be the ones that have all the knowledge and the information. But this woman that we met, who was the head of her household, she was extremely, extremely knowledgeable. And what happened was, she took us to a special place, and we did a meditation on the Hopi lands with the crystal skulls. And she could really feel the energy from our crystal skulls, and she just thanked us for allowing her to have this chance to meet the skull. But also for Daisy and I, we felt that there was a crystal skull on the Hopi property. There was like a very large skull, in our mind's eye, that seemed to appear to us. So I don't know if part of our visit was to, maybe bringing other crystal skulls on the Hopi land to give a message to the skull, but I think that meditation was very, very special as well. And it was just nice to see that this woman, who is very much into the tradition, she could really feel the energy with the crystal skulls again. So that was kind of special for us. Special things that happen there. And of course, prophecy stone is always wonderful to go there and really look at that prophecy that's on the stone and think, who really drew that? And were they really able to look into their future, which is our present now? Because the one thing I didn't remember about the prophecy, Rark, was there's one line. There's like these two lines at the end of the Hopi prophecy. One is a path of destruction. The other one is a path of peace. And the line, I believe, of the path of destruction also goes around the edge of the stone. It's like this pattern goes to the edge of the stone when you're facing it, but that line continued like on the side of the stone.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't remember that. I'd seen it once before, but this was back in the early 80s. So for us, it was very, very special to be able to be there and to be welcomed, by a Hopi family and to see how they lived and everything.
Well, that's great. I know that must have been an outstanding experience for you. Those are special when you can. And that's it. From what I understand, if there are adoptions, it's the experiences with an individual family. And so I'm glad you're able to connect with a family that was able to connect with you in a good way and to help you explore and find out more about how the skulls work.
And other comment we got that was interesting is the friend of the family, the woman who had been adopted, he said that when we were in the house of her family, that they never shared with visitors all the information that they were sharing with us about their traditions. And the woman even brought out her wedding dress, which had to be made by her husband. The husband had to kill the animal, skin it, and make the wedding dress for her. So I think it was also not only what we loved that they learned about these special people, but also we came and we gave to them an energy, and I think we gave them a little bit of hope that not all the people in the modern world, are really ignoring what the Hopi say, that there are many people who recognize that prophecy is important and recognize that they have special information for humanity and that there are people out there who want to learn this. And for Daisy, too, she's been a Native American in a past life, so for her, this was unbelievable. She just really felt at home. She may have been a Hopi in a past life.
Really opened a door.
Yeah.
That's outstanding. That's outstanding that the skulls could open a door like that. So where do you see you things going next for the skulls? Say out 5 years from now.
5 years is a long time now. It's pretty hard to forecast for that. What I'm hoping is that this conference we organize in Holland will be the first of many, and that we will hopefully be able to provide a space where we can have people from the indigenous cultures and the modern cultures working together to give people experiences and understanding of the skull. I also hope, perhaps this will come to our movie project, I don't know, that eventually our nonprofit center can get the funding we need so that we can do a lot more experiments. I think we talked about this last time a little bit, that in the new book we have, which is Journeys of a Crystal Skull Explorer, that I put into that book all the scientific research that we have done with crystal skulls. You know, what energetic effect they have on people. We were able to do blind tests, and we kept getting consistent results, primarily working with our big crystal skull we have called Portal de Luz. So I'd like to continue to do that. We also uncovered some kind of like secret or hidden information in the Bible code, in the crystal skulls themselves through digital images and a special process. So I think that there'll be a lot more research. I'm hoping in the next 5 years that more of the indigenous people or elders will come out and share what they really understand. Right now, the Mayans are probably the most vocal group willing to discuss, you know, things they know, and there are some Native Americans, but so far it's been harder to really get to speak to them. And, I don't know, I'm assuming in the next 5 years there'll be more of the ancient skulls coming out. Maybe even the blue ones, which I think we talked about the last time that I had a vision of.
I was just getting ready to ask you about the...
Nothing new has happened with that, but I think within 5 years, that one has to be out and about, and whether we're the ones who find it, or it just appears to us, or it's given to us, or some other people bring it out, but I believe that the blue skull, which both Dave and I have been visions of, and for your listeners, if they don't know about the blue skull, what I'm describing is a skull that looks like it's made from quartz crystal. The color of it is like a clear sky blue color. And I believe it has a movable jaw. When I look at it, as I am in my mind now, as I'm talking, it seems like it has the ability to speak. Perhaps it's one of the singing skulls, which some of the native people talk about, singing skulls. We've been guided to Peru to find it, but... since our last trip in 2002, there really hasn't been a strong interest for us to go back. I mean, we're so busy with our exams, the new book that we just came out, the e-book last year, and now working on the printed book. Oh, by the way, it is in print right now.
Great.
It's in Polish. Last October, our Polish publisher came out with the book, but unfortunately, it's just in Polish. So if there are any listeners who do speak Polish, I mean, here in Chicago, they have a big Polish community, interested in the crystal skulls, and want to get a copy. I have some copies in Holland. You know, just go ahead and contact us. That's the first official printed version of our book in Polish. Our publisher in Holland is hoping to have a version ready for our conference, but these two books are a compressed version of the larger book that we had as an e-book, which I'm working on as the printed book for. So,
amazing.
You know, and I'm sure there are going to be many other people in the next 5 years writing more books about crystal skulls, whether it's their personal experiences or, you know, more research information or legends. I think there'll be more books. And, of course, I think if all goes well, our movie would be out in 2007. And if it comes out the way and the way the story is that I've proposed, it could be quite powerful. So, I think... what I could say is between now and the next 5 years, the crystal skulls will not be going away. There will be more that will be carved. There will be more books, more conferences, more people will want to, you know, have their personal experience with one. And hopefully our conference will be one of several events to act as a catalyst that can help to bring, you know, people really working together with the skulls. Bring more together for maybe meditations for peace, for ceremonies. You know, there are so many people who we hear from who have contact with crystal skulls and are having fairly powerful transformations going on in their lives. So it just keeps encouraging us, you know, to try to do more events and give more people a chance to have their experience. So I think it's going to be very powerful the next 5 years.
How can people obtain a skull for themselves?
Oh, good question. Well, we have a contact with the Brazilian carver, and we have set up an arrangement with the carver so that if somebody wants to get their own crystal skull, they can get it sent directly to them from Brazil. As a matter of fact, due to the Coast to Coast radio show, we had like about 40 or 50 requests from people who wanted to order a crystal skull. So they can just, you know, basically email us, and we just find out, you know, what's their budget, what kind of crystal skull they want. And then, of course, we can give them suggestions how to activate it, but a lot of that information is in the new book. We have an entire appendix that talks about how you select which crystal skull, the three-step process. They taught us how to activate them and, you know, what kinds of things you can do with it. And then also, of course, our book, too. They hear from other caretakers, you know, what experiences they've had, how they're working with the skull. So, yeah, we can help people with that. I mean, they can go on eBay, too, and get it. But I think the difference between, you know, just going to anyone and getting a crystal skull and then coming to us is that if the people want, we will have their crystal skull fit with our circle, who has all kinds of pretty amazing energy from our work with them and from the other skulls they've seen and the sacred places we've taken them when we travel. And we can help to open the skull up. And, of course, you know, we're there to support a person with suggestions, you know, what did they do first and this kind of thing. So, yes, we are definitely helping people with that. Daisy basically told me one day, you know, it's not for her, it's a business thing. It's trying to help the person, the crystal skull, find the right person to be with. So I don't know how many crystal skulls we've gotten out for people since we started that the last couple of years, but if you include the little kind of marble-sized ones that we also offer, it could be a couple hundred. But she usually orders like about 100 of these little marble-sized skulls, and we get ones that are between 150 gram and 1 pound. Those are kind of small, easy to hold in your hand. But we have had people ask us for even larger ones, too. 5 or 6 pounds is the largest that we most of us can get.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Hi, this is Will Blue Otter speaking on behalf of Native Remedies. As the systems of the body are interrelated, proper functioning and health occurs when they are in balance and harmony, so it's important to consider taking a holistic approach to caring for your body. Provided that they are manufactured in the correct way, natural medicines can work quickly and safely to create holistic balance in the body to support systemic health, relieve ailments, and help prevent future disease. Most natural remedies do not produce negative side effects, and unlike conventional medicine, natural remedies do not just mask symptoms, but they get to the root of the problem to support health and affect healing at the same time. Most homeopathics are even safely taken by people of all ages and during pregnancy. Homeopathic medicine is actually suppressed here in the United States. Outside of this country, a large majority of medicines that are prescribed are homeopathics. Did you know that the cure for malaria was developed by the man that invented the homeopathic system? That's right. So friends, please take my advice. Visit the front page of prophecykeepers.com and click on the Native Remedies banner and find out what all the excitement's all about.
Yes, we can help people with that, but there are other people too that they can contact, of course, and some of those people are listed in our network.
Yeah. Why don't you tell us a little bit about Max?
Okay, well, Max is considered to be an ancient crystal stone. The story, as I understand it, is that there was a Tibetan-trained healer who was given Max as a gift, and he was in Mexico, Guatemala. And he decided to create a healing center with this. This is probably in the 70s. And when he passed away, there was a family called Park who had come to his healing center because the daughter was suffering from a terminal illness. The doctors had given up on her. And so they were just looking for some way to help their daughter, and they came to the healing center. And actually, their daughter had some sessions with Max because Max was sitting in the healing center. When this Tibetan-trained healer died, because of the support and the help from the Park family for his center, they inherited the crystal skull. I think it was around 1980 or so. And then in 86, 87, when there was some different conferences going on, crystal conferences with crystal skulls being participating. There was a TV show the Parks were watching, and they heard about the Mitchell Hedges film. They somehow came in touch with F.I. McNasserino. We told them that he had known about their crystal stone, had kind of been looking for it, and he pretty much assisted them. And I guess in the late part of the 1980s, they just started traveling in America with it, and now managed to come to Holland and France recently. So it's larger than human-sized clear quartz. I've seen it. It has a pretty strong energy around it. For some people, pretty profound healing has happened for them. So, and probably matches the ancient skull, which is traveling the most right now, I have to say. Because it's like two or three weekends a month when Mrs. Park takes the crystal skull into Chicago. So it's pretty powerful.
So Max, I understand, it weighs about 18 pounds.
It's either 16 or 18 pounds. I don't remember exactly. A human-sized crystal skull is between 11 and 12. So this one is larger than human.
Wow. That's amazing. That's amazing. Have, has there ever been any such thing as a, I don't know why I'm asking this, but is there any connection with crop circles?
Well, I can only tell you the research that we did in the crop circles in Europe. The question we posed was, could a crystal skull affect energetically the energy inside of the crop circle? That was our question. I don't know why we thought about this question, but when I went to England in April 2000, I spoke in a city called Yeovil, and I met a crop circle researcher there named David Kingston. And when I came back to England the following year, I asked David, I said, David, you know, I'm here, and I would like to experience the crop circle because I've heard from, you know, so many people their experiences. And so he was interested to go with us, and actually he brought some kind of electromagnetic equipment that could measure frequencies of energy in the crop circle.
Mm-hmm.
So we did a test. And basically what we did is we measured the electromagnetic frequency in a crop circle that was by Haysbury, and we went to the very center. Actually, I'd been to this crop circle before. You know, it's one of those where you're just walking around, and all of a sudden you look and you go, there's a crop circle. And it's like nobody knew about it. It's just sitting there. And you just happen to be in the right place at the right time. And what we decided to do is we measured the energy at the center of the crop circle, and every time we measured it, it was always zero. Now, what was really weird is we decided, okay, let's put our big skull, Portal de Luz. This is a 10-pound smoky quartz skull that was done in Brazil, the one that I've worked most closely with, and there's probably the crystal skull in our collection that's traveled the most. And we saw, and I don't see things like this, the Daisy saw it, Mr. Kingston saw it, and I saw it. In Portal, we saw like a spiraling in of energy and a spiraling out. So this explained to us why the energy was always zero at this place. It's like very quickly the energy spirals into the earth, and then instantaneously it's spiraling out, so it's negating itself. So we then took the crystal skull out, and we checked to see if this made any difference in the energy, and it did not. So then, when I had been to that crystal skull, not the crystal skull, the crop circle before, I had received, you know, an inner message. The next time I go to a crop circle, take my portable CD player with the special music I like to listen to and meditate with the crystal skull, you know, by the center. I said to David, you know, why don't I do this? I'll listen to the music and I will meditate with the crystal skull. We're inside of the crop circle right by the center, and let's see if this makes any difference. So I did that. Now, what I remember from that meditation is as soon as I started listening to the music and I closed my eyes, I felt as if there was this cone of energy totally surrounding me. Now, I don't know where it came from. My eyes were, you know, rapidly moving, and there was just this awful energy around me. Then I tried to sing with this song. I thought I was doing a great job singing with this song. But Daisy said, we don't know what song you're singing. So I don't know if I was in an altered state of consciousness or what I was doing, but I felt in my body, you know, my voice was resonating with the music. I was seeing. So after that, we measured the energy around the crystal skull. It was off the scale. The energy at the center prior to that was still zero. Then we put four powder loose into the center. Then we took them out, and then the energy at the center of the circle had changed. It also went off the scale. So I don't know what this means exactly. Could it be that there is some frequencies that the crystal skulls work at that is similar to what the cross circles are functioning at? Because, you know, when we first put Portal de Luz down there, he really was in a rest state. When a human being works with the crystal skull, that's how you activate them. After doing a meditation with the music, Portal de Luz, you know, basically became activated, and we put him there, and then the energy of the cross circle came. Another thing could be crystal comes from the ground. The crop circle is related to electromagnetic frequencies of the earth. But as far as some connections, I would say the most powerful symbolic message I would say that's similar between the crystal skull and the crop circles is both of them are messengers. Many people believe the crop circles are trying to communicate with us some kind of information. Robert Boorman, and I'm not pronouncing his last name correctly, there's a sound they have in Dutch which is very difficult for Americans to pronounce, is one of the major crop circle researchers in Holland. He's also supporting our nonprofit research center, the Royal Mystery Research Center in Holland. And let's see, I hate when this happens to me at some point. Oh yeah, so he says that if you look at all the different crop circles since day one that have come up and you put them all together, that this is a powerful message to humanity. Well, I feel that the crystal skulls are the same. Indigenous people say they are the ancient computers. They are the vessels of knowledge and information that were used by their forefathers hundreds or thousands of years ago. So they also have messages for us. So I see that the crystal skulls and crop circles are like messengers for us, and that there is an intelligence. This is another thing that's very interesting with the crystal skulls. There is an intelligence that's making these patterns, this message happening by itself in the crop circles, but there also seems to be an intelligence that works through the crystal skulls when they become activated, because there are a lot of people, including Daisy and I, we're having telepathic communication with our crystal skulls. Somebody is talking to us. Is it the consciousness of the crystal? Is it spirits that are working through that crystal skull? I'm not exactly sure, but we get good information, and the crystal skulls tell us what they want. Like around this time, this is before I went to England to the Crop Circle Society, Portal de Luz, he calls me Dad. He said, Dad, I want to go to the Crop Circle. So we wound up going to, I don't know, I think four different Crop Circles, 2001, 2002 in England. And I noticed another thing is that when Portal de Luz was introduced into the crop circle, it seemed to calm down the energy there. So even when I was just working with him, before we started doing, you know, the research and measuring it, I noticed that there seemed to be a difference in the energy when the crystal skull was introduced. So that's what I can tell you about that experience, and I think it means there is some connection, but we need to do more research, more tests.
That's outstanding. I know you've got some. Want to encourage folks to visit your website. I just sit here looking at the Orchid Flame Skull and Maya Crystal Skull from Mexico. Wind Song. It's an awesome website for, you know. I'll tell you, since the more I found out about them, you know, the more impressed I am with who the skulls are and what they do. I really feel like they're a strong connection to Mother Earth and to the Creator in a way for us to have a closer relationship with Creator.
Yeah, and I think that's the way indigenous people see the crystal skull also. It's a connection to creator, connection to spirit, to bring special frequencies of energy for their people. I'm sure the scouts do a lot of healing for their people. There was one book that was a channel book, I think, related to the Mitchell Hedges spell that said the crystal spells were used for weather control at some point, possibly in Atlantis. So, yeah, what we have to look at is up until the middle 70s, there were very few crystal skulls that were known. There was the Mitchell Hedges skull, there was the crystal skull in the British Museum, and another crystal skull, half human size, in the Museum of Mankind in Paris, or also called the Trocadero Museum. And that was pretty much it. And then all of a sudden the 80s came and a bunch of other crystal skulls started to appear. And now you've got thousands of them being carved, because them being sold through eBay. Many people are desiring to have one, so something has shifted since the middle part of the 1990s, that all of a sudden people have a much stronger interest in them. And I believe it's because they have a role to play in our future.
Mm-hmm.
They are a tool to act as a catalyst to help to awaken humanity to our divine origin. And also, that they are being made in our image. You know, we have all his own cells in our heads. There are some modern carvers now using diamond tools that can duplicate exactly the human bone skull. So I have always believed that the bone skull is put into this shape because it is able to receive cosmic knowledge and information, and it has to do with the shape of our skull. So if you have a crystal skull, this already is a material that is a transmitter receiver of vibrational frequencies, and then put it into the shape of the skull, it's going to start to have a phenomenon around it or become a vessel for information or energy in a different way than the normal piece of crystal that you just take them out of front. The shape does have something to do with it. And you've heard my story. It's just an amazing field to be involved with. We never know what's going to happen next, and we've met some of the most amazing people. And we've watched miracles happen with people who've had their personal experiences with crystal skulls. So I just have felt since I saw my first one, which is an amethyst skull, that this was my destiny, to be involved in this. And we're just trying to do the best we can with our conference, with our book, with our public presentations, and eventually our movie fund.
Is your book, Journeys of the Crystal Skull Explorer, still available in electronic form?
Yes. There is a link on our homepage that we're sending people to where they can order the ebook. They can actually download it directly to their computer. The only thing that I have to caution them about is that the book is copy protected. We have no choice. Once you have something in the digital format with the very fast speeds they have on the internet, that document or book or information can be copied all over the world in a very short period of time. So this has caused a little bit of a hassle for people, but we found a way to get everyone's ebook working if there's a problem whatsoever.
Right.
The printed version and the ebook has been out since just around the time we talked to you last year, actually. It's just
right.
Come
on. Well, I know your book, Mysteries of the Skulls, Crystal Skulls Revealed, is out of print, but I'm looking right now at addall.com. Actually, it's USED, used.addall.com. And I'm seeing about 12 copies available in the neighborhood from $11 to $35.
Yeah.
If folks
we still have copies ourselves, even though it's out of print.
Oh, okay. So if folks are
directly from us, and I've set up on the internet, they can use their credit card to order the book.
Oh, okay. I should have asked you first. I wasn't sure whether you still had copies or not. So
yeah,
talk to you. Oh, there it is. Yeah, order your copy now. Okay, $20.
A few hundred copies left, and they can order it. We use PayPal, which they don't have to join to use it, and it accepts your credit card. We actually had quite a few books sold after the Coast to Coast show. So if the people are impatient, they want to get their hands on a Crystal Skull book, we have that printed book available. Just they contact us through the internet and we can get it sent to them. Also, there is instructions if they don't want to order online or they don't want give out their credit card information. We can send a check in the mail, and we will get to look out for. So, yeah, we still have some copies left of that. So instead of getting a used one, if they want a new one, brand new,
good.
Never opened in the box, we have it.
Good. Forgive my foot and mouth there. So, you know, it's nice to know, you know, when you've got, you know, a dozen copies that are available, you know, through, you know, when you go on addall.com, it's, you know, they're looking all over the world for your books. And, you know, you've got probably 10 different places around the world that that got copies of your books and are reselling them. So I know it's got to make you feel good to know that that they're out there and that they're available.
Well, if there are other writers listening, that is the greatest satisfaction that a writer can have, is when they're writing the book, they have no clue if anybody's going to buy the book. And so I think for this particular book, we were able to print 10,000 copies, and they printed 2,000 in Portuguese and Brazil, and most of them are gone. So, you know, it's just a good feeling to know that the book was accepted, and people liked it. We got a lot of good response from people about it, and, you know, but I think the new book we have really builds on top of that first book, and it really offers a lot more aspects about the Crystal Skull than our first book does, and it enhances it. The first book is really more for people that are really into Crystal Skulls, and they want to know, you know, like some really interesting and profound things. This newer book is more tailored for beginners to advanced students. So, but the two books work very well together. So, we still have the ebook available, but I think when the printed version of this ebook comes out, then the ebook might go away. So,
be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Friends, this is Will Bluewater speaking on behalf of WiseFoods.org. Our native ancestors stored away lots of food in case of emergencies. Thousands of years of sad experience taught them to be prepared. The traditional Hopi stored food enough to last for 7 years. So did the early Mormons. Nowadays, everyone unwisely depends on supermarkets for their food supply, and few people know that there is only a 3-day supply of food in the American food supply chain. Now, should some disaster befall us that would cause the big trucks like I used to drive to cease delivering our food, you'd be in big trouble. It is for these reasons that my family purchased a year's supply of 3 different breakfast and 10 delicious dinner entrees from WiseFoods.org. These foods are freeze-dried right at the field where they are picked and processed and are fresher and more nutritious than any supermarket food. You just add hot water, and they're good for 25 years being stored. A year supply from WiseFoods.org fits in an area about 4.5 feet by 4 feet by 18 inches. I can literally get it all in the back seat area of my Honda Civic. If you stay at home, you won't need to go to a FEMA refugee center should some disaster happen. Did you know that David Ramsey, David Gallagher, Laura Ingram, and Michael Medved have also invested in Wise Foods? Why don't you visit wisefoods.org today and see why.
Anybody who has an ebook version that might become a collector's item at some point, especially if I'm around, and there's only been a couple hundred copies of that ebook sold so far. People just don't like to you know, go on the computer to read it. Now, I forgot to tell you, there is another version of the ebook out through a company called Filament Books. They have a book club. And what they're doing is instead of reading the ebook on the computer, they have an ebook reader, the digital device you hold in your hand, and you can actually read the book on that device. So if there are people who want the book, they don't want to use the computer, but they like the idea of holding something that they can read, very lightweight device they can read, because that's how I think the e-books will take off, is when everything is in a device. You know, it's like on Star Trek, where somebody's reading a book, they have this handheld device they're using to read it. So it's kind of like that, and there are quite a few people they have on board who've written books on UFOs that are in this form. So there is information on our website, too, about how to order that version.
And I'm at filamentbookclub.com, and sure enough, there's a copy of Journeys of a Crystal Soul Explorer.
Yep.
Not too far down from a picture of George Norrie.
Yeah, George Norrie is connected to the book club. So he and the president of the book club have done UFO books together. So,
outstanding. I didn't know about this.
Yeah.
Looks kind of like a, oh, I don't know, kind of reminds me of the old, the reader kind of reminds me of the old handheld cassette players that are, you know, about the size of your hand.
Yeah, it's like that. So, we haven't been able to get our own copy of it, but from what they told us, you know, another way to read the book. So it means if you join their club, not only you can get our book, but they have a lot of other pretty amazing books that they're also offering. And you just connect through the telephone line, it downloads the book into your device, and you have it.
Huh.
You can read it whenever you want.
Well, I'll be darned. Well, how can folks support your nonprofit effort if they have?
Right now we're looking for, of course, donations. And since we're nonprofit, it can be used as a tax write-off to provide for us funding so we can continue to do the research that we started, which we talked about in the book. Or they could become a sponsor for the center, of course, which means then they might have some kind of project or things they're interested in, which we might have the contacts with the people, either with the equipment or, you know, the area we want to research. I believe is the purpose of the World Mystery Research Center is that in all of these different world mysteries we have, whether it's crystal skulls or UFO or Bible code or crop circles, prophecy, whatever it is, that all of these mysteries have important information and knowledge for the future of humanity. And through the research that we're doing, using, in the case of the crystal skull, we were using different kind of equipment and devices. Through this kind of research, from both a scientific and paranormal perspective, try to do both, that I believe that we have a possibility to retrieve some of this very important information and then, of course, to get it out. So if there's any of your listeners who, you know, agree with us, this is something that's important to do and they'd like to help us through donations or volunteer their time, although it's more difficult if they volunteer time unless it's for a specific project, because, you know, everything we do is volunteer right now. All the people that helped us with the research up to now, either they permitted us to use their equipment or we had a lot of very special people who volunteered to be test subjects. So, I'm just pursuing it. We haven't done the research as much lately because the conference now is taking up our time, movie projects and books. But I believe that we have to come back to the research, and there's still some very important information that perhaps we will find, and our job is just to share it, maybe put it out in a book form or on the internet or whatever. So again, if people just come to the website, which is www.j-enterprises.com/cs.html, at our Crystal Skull homepage. You know, they can just email me or, you know, they can take a look at what we're doing and we can go from there.
Outstanding. Well, I, for one, am grateful for the update. It's important work that you're doing. It's really tough, you know, trying to decipher after a couple thousand years or more of cultural exploitation, trying to decipher what's really going on in the world, and I feel the skulls are a big part of that.
I agree. And this is part of the reason why when I saw the amethyst skull, and I felt inside myself, this was very important. That's why I've dedicated myself to it. And I also feel very grateful that God has sent me such a wonderful partner in Daisy, who also has a very strong connection with Crystal Skulls. I would even say stronger than me. Because, how she takes care of our skull, how she honors them, the vision that she has received. You know, she's very connected, and I just feel very grateful to have such a wonderful wife and partner to share this with, because, you know, for a lot of people, working with crystal skulls sounds kind of crazy. You work with that, so what's going on with you? But, you know, I think more people are more open, like Stargate had an episode with the crystal skull, and there was a movie called House 2 that had a crystal skull, so... And all the tabloids occasionally will show the crystal skull. BBC has their documentaries, and I'm sure there will be more documentaries coming out. So, and whenever they have a program about the world's greatest mysteries, usually crystal skull is included. So this, of course, is important to try to get the resources to do the research, because I think we have not even touched. Just touch the tip of the iceberg of what the crystal skulls have to tell us. And, you know, if they had more resources, I think there's a lot more information and things that we would learn, or they would teach us, however it comes out. That's important for humanity. So. And it's, you know, this is the work that we do full time, and it's very interesting, a lot of variety. We never know what's going to happen. And, you know, it's pretty exciting, you know, the projects that we've got involved in. If somebody would have told me before I started I would be doing all of these things, I wouldn't have never believed them. But, you know, it keeps us very busy. And, you know, we just keep hearing from people every week. Every time I go on the internet, look at my email, there's somebody else writing to us. So it's the time now for the crystal skulls to come out, most definitely.
Well, I really appreciate you coming on the show again, and you know, be sure and you know, refer any elders, you know, to or anyone else that you feel needs to be interviewed. You know, maybe this elder that you're getting in contact with that you mentioned at the beginning of the show might be interested in being interviewed.
Yeah, we'll talk with them, definitely.
Well, it's been fascinating, folks, and I hope everyone will say a prayer to help Joshua and Daisy along their way. It's a hard thing that they're doing, and it takes dedication. And I know I appreciate you know, the prayers I've had that other people have had for Prophecy Keepers Radio, and I know Joshua and Daisy. Would sure appreciate it. I sure miss not hearing Daisy. She's an amazing person.
Yeah, you couldn't find a more sweeter person in the world.
No, you sure could.
Really pure heart, and she's really working hard to be a pure channel, whether it's her artwork that comes through or the healing. She's doing a tremendous amount of healing these days, working with the crystal cells. So. Yeah, she's really a very, very special person.
I bet you're missing her. How long?
Yeah, but there's something we have which is really cool. It's a program called Skype, which I've tried to help other people set up. And what happens is if you have a microphone and an internet connection, the sound of the voice is very, very good. It doesn't work as well if you have dial-up, but it can work, because every day I talk with Daisy without making a long-distance phone call, and her voice is very clear, and it sounds like she's in the room with me, and it sounds like I'm in the room with her. So I have to say that it's made this trip a little more bearable, just having the ability to talk to her like that. And, you know, yeah.
That's a good tool. I haven't been able to figure out how to use it on my computer. My friend Marshall Masters at YOWUSA.com uses it to record all of his shows worldwide, because it's much quieter than telephone connections. You know, most telephone connections go through,
yeah.
Oh, they leave your house, then they'll go across copper for a while, then they'll go across fiber optic, then they get uploaded to a satellite, and it adds noise to the line, but Skype is all internet.
Yeah.
It's, I don't know, you know, 2 cents, 2 or 3 cents a minute to talk anywhere in the world.
Yeah, you can call telephone numbers, too, with it. I haven't tried that. We just use it when between two Skype people, you know, Casey and I both.
Yeah. I, I just have, I've got some kind of a an issue that I have to solve that has to do with my computer, but I may be switching over to it soon because Marshall, and I recommend, you know, folks that they listen to his show as much as they can, Your Own World UFA. It's a fascinating show. Were you aware of that show, Joshua?
Well, I haven't heard of it, so maybe after this program you could just send me an email.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think Marshall would enjoy having you on. It's internet radio, but he's got, I think he's got about, I don't know, several thousand listeners.
Yeah.
So, well, folks.
Internet radio is really taking off.
We got a nibble from Wisdom Radio in New York about the possibility of me doing a 1 hour a week. I'm not sure how it will work out because most of those, what they call directed broadcasts, you know, where the host is in a remote city, they have to have the old ISDN connection, which is,
right.
It isn't as fast as a cable connection, but it's what the radio stations use to connect with the host and the way they do their engineering. So I don't know how it's going to work out, or if it will work out. But you know, hey, that may be another resource too, because Wisdom Television has been bought out by a company that's owned by Steve Case, and they're going to be expanding and doing some different things. So I'll let my contact know, you know, what you're doing, and who knows, you may end up with a show too, or you may end up with the show.
Well, this has already been offered to us, but I don't think we have the equipment for it yet.
Yeah.
But we had talked about maybe from Europe with some other people taking turns doing shows. You know, because I like the idea, and just to be able to report to people some of the latest interesting information that's going on in the world.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, we appreciate you. Appreciate you coming on the show, and we wish you well.
Always a pleasure, Blue Otter, and wish you all the success with Prophecy Keepers. I know this is a very important show for people to listen to hear the different guests that you bring on. So, we wish you the best of luck, and it's always great to be on the show. So anytime you want to invite us back, feel free to do so.
Well, you bet. Well, thanks a lot, Joshua.
This is Jasa Sagonige, a seventh-grade grandson of Sawanuka, keeper of the Holy Cherokee Ark, who during the American Revolution became first beloved man of the Cherokee, head man of the Upper, Middle, and Lower Cherokee. Please join us at 5 p.m. Pacific Time on Sunday evening and learn how you, regardless of ancestry, may gain the privilege of worshiping as you please, even using indigenous, plant-based, native sacraments. Aho. You are listening to a pre-recorded interview from the archives of Prophecy Keepers Radio. Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius. This station's only means of support is through donations and purchases of the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library, which includes lifetime online access to a printable 1,000-page intelligence briefing and a worldwide indigenous prophecy encyclopedia. Now, folks, there's nothing else like this collection on the planet. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keepers Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files and 222 folders. It includes the Prophecy Keepers Preppers Self-Reliance files and all of our previous over 100 Prophecy Keepers interviews. So head on over to prophecykeepers.com right now and have a free sneak peek today of two-thirds the Prophecy Keepers trilogy, and a peek of the dashboard of the Prophecy Keepers Wisdom Treasury Vault.
Let the truth